Welcome everyone to the Caribbean Science Fiction Network, a celebration of all things fantasy, folklore, speculative fiction, and of course, science fiction. Today you'll be hearing about The Caddy Club, an upcoming animation. I have with me Kafi Karim, the writer and director from Trinidad and Tobago, and Patrick Merkel, the lead character designer from Jamaica.
I thought the golf course was a perfect place where you can bring all these elements together. You have the traditional or stereotypical elitists, and then you have these fish out of water kids who come from all over, come into the golf course, and then they clash. And I thought that would be nice to examine in the movie.
Kathy and I are pulling from our genuine experiences, you know, what my child, if they have kids, or what my niece or nephew might be experiencing. And also just how their kids can be empowered and how their kids can focus on some of the good traits that they can build on, because the powers that are given are very unique.
Kafi, Patrick, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us both.
So talk to us about the Caddy Club.
So the Caddy Club is about children in a vacation golf camp who discover a magical quarter on the golf course. Keisha, who is 12. Ryan, he's also 12. Akil, who is a bit younger, so he's like 11 going on 12. Then there's Jamal, who's 9 years old, and Tamika, who's 6. And when they discover this magical portal, they cross over into a magical realm where they meet with mystical elders who give them gifts. But the gifts come with one important condition. They have to keep the gifts a secret, and they have to use them to save the world and fight crime. So the Caddy Club is about these kids who start off as young golfers and turn into superheroes.
I find the golfing aspect very interesting, so I'm going to ask you some things about that. But first, I want to know, what inspired you to create this?
I created the Caddy Club for a number of reasons. One of the reasons is I really want to see more movies out there for Caribbean kids and Caribbean families that really show our experience as Caribbean people. I have a daughter. She's 6 years old. And I would love if, you know, when she turns on the TV, she could watch movies that reflect her Trinidadian experience more than the things that she's watching now. And I'm also a forever child. So I remember what it was like, you know, loving movies and TV shows so much and never really seeing myself on the screen. And so I really wanted to make a movie for Caribbean families. The other reason that I made the Caddy Club in particular is when I was growing up, my grandfather, he was a golfer at a professional level where he did tournaments and stuff in Trinidad. He was on the tour circuit in the Caribbean, and he represented Trinidad and Tobago on our golf teams for a number of years. In his retirement, I saw him working a lot with youth to teach them golf. And he golfed a lot on the Shagaramus golf course. And if anybody knows about Shagaramus, you know that it's really close to Carenage and Scorpion and Shaka Cabana. And some of those areas can be hot spots for crime because of the under-resourced nature of the communities that live there. So I saw the way that he worked with those under-resourced communities. I think it really inspired me to see kids from all backgrounds on the golf course learning to play golf, when golf is sometimes stereotypically thought of as such an elite sport, you know, and that you have to have a certain amount of money or maybe even be a certain color to be able to play golf. You know, it has this kind of reputation sometimes, I think. But what I saw my grandfather do is really democratize his sports and make it available to everyone. And I saw the way that young people who were talented at golf got opportunities to play the sport and tour and go around the island and the region and the world with this sport because they were introduced to golf. So I think that was a big inspiration as well.
Patrick, I'm not sure if you have ever been to Shagaramus, so I want to know how you became involved in this project.
It's really and truly the golf aspect that dragged me to the Caddy Club. My grandparents, they didn't play professionally, but they played recreationally, and they actually taught me how to play golf. So we're Jamaican born, but I grew up in Grand Cayman, and then I moved back to Jamaica with my mom. And in that time, they played a lot of golf, and we watched a lot of golf. So PGA Tour, when it came around Thursday to Sunday, that's all you're watching. And as a child, that was like the worst nightmare ever because it's such a boring sport to watch. But for me, it was actually really fun to play. So whenever we went to the courses, well, there was only one course in Cayman, but when we went, I would always enjoy it. And I actually was a part of one of a similar youth camp for one of my summer times. And so for me, when I saw the Caddy Club and I saw the concept of golf, I didn't even know about the magical element about it yet. I just had this, it intrigued me because I'm like, whoa, you know, golf and the Caribbean, you know, I know about golf, you know, some of my friends kind of know about golf, but as Kathy said, you know, there is this elitist attachment to the sport, you know. And only certain people of a certain class play it when, you know, in certain context and reality, that's not true because I don't think that's what my experience is or was. And I think Kathy would agree for her own experience as well. But then when you tie in the magical element, empowering these kids, these Caribbean kids now to go out and fight crime with some really unique weapons and powers is like, oh, yeah, man, because I'm a big Dragon Ball Z fan. So I'm like, oh, this is insane to me. This is very unique. So that's really what drew me to the idea of Caddy Club.
It's interesting that you both came to this through golf. So let's talk about golf. It was a cricketer who said that the only thing that brings us together in the Caribbean is cricket. But here you have an animation based around golf. So why golf as opposed to something arguably more familiar to us in the Caribbean, such as cricket?
Yeah, yeah. Rally around the West Indies, right? Why golf? As I mentioned, there's a personal connection, but also I thought it would be a really good way to use the power of movies, because movies are a great way to introduce people to worlds that they've never actually experienced in their real life and to invite them to maybe step outside of their comfort zone. And so I thought the fact that golf isn't so familiar actually was a real good opportunity to make it more familiar, to make it more mainstream, and to really maybe open people's eyes to the fact that it may be more accessible than you think. The movie also examines issues of classism, racism, and I thought the golf course was a perfect place to examine those things because, again, of the history that it has of being an elitist sport. I think there was a period of time when maybe it was not as accessible, and so the reputation it has today comes from the history of the sport, where you really did have to be of a certain class or from a certain type of family. Because of the class issue and the race issue, I thought that the golf course would be a really good place to examine some of the themes that the movie examines, because it's a place where you can bring all these elements together, right? You have the traditional or stereotypical elitists, and then you have these fish out of water kids who come from all over, come into the golf course, and then they clash. And I thought that would be nice to examine in the movie.
Patrick, you mentioned, you used the word unique. They become heroes in very unique ways. And I think it might lead us to sort of neglect the significance that it can offer us as adults. What can it offer not just children, but also grown-ups who might be children at heart, but they have their eyes on much more adult issues and things to deal with?
You know, for a person who is a child at heart, I think both Kathy and I would be that. I think you kind of need to be that in a creative space. Having the opportunity to really see characters or see people that reflect you is something that you can still appreciate, even though it's kids. We all reminisce. We all look back at our memories. There are some of those things that we can, you still as adults, can uniquely appreciate from something like this with this set of kids. You know, even in just saying and talking previously, you know, Kathy and I are pulling from our genuine experiences that we find relatable to these characters and their experience that they would have. And also another thing that it can offer adults is just a peek into what kids actually may be experiencing in today's world and space regionally. You know, what my child, if they have kids, or what my niece or nephew might be experiencing with regards to their socioeconomic space, with regards to how they might interact with other kids and how to kind of overcome some of those conflicts that they might find. And also just, you know, how their kids can be empowered and how their kids can kind of focus on some of the good traits that they can build on. Because again, the powers that are given are very unique. Though there are magical elements ascribed to them, these are things that we grow in as human beings.
It was said that the children, they sort of go through a portal after chasing this golf ball, and it leads them into this realm, this ancestral realm. And this was fascinating to me because I find this process of reconnecting to ancestors is extremely important, not just as Caribbean people, but as people. How is it allowing us to appreciate the significance of reconnecting with ancestors?
The story deals with history, Caribbean history, in a very sort of direct way. Keisha, who is one of the kids in the vacation golf camp, she's the first one to go over to the ancestral realm. And when she does, she meets with elders who are Afro-Caribbean, Indo-Caribbean, and Native Caribbean. And each of them tells her their story. It's a musical, it's an animated musical. So they actually sing her their story and say what it was like when we were on the island of Trinidad, and now we're here in this dead people world, right? And so they actually sing about Caribbean history and let her know that they are really part of her. She wouldn't be on the island of Trinidad if they hadn't existed. So they let her know that, you know, we are the reason that you are here, in other words. And so that's why we care about you, because you are our descendants. And so I think it really invites us to look at our history in a very direct way, as people in the Americas who were brought to the Americas in different ways, right? Or who were natively here and then who had our lives interrupted. The movie really invites us to look at that common history and to look at the ways that that common history has impacted us up until today.
We talked about the powers a little bit, but I want to talk a little more, because children dream of typical and even stereotypical powers, like super strength, invisibility, the power to fly, based on what they're seeing on TV. But these children in the Cardi Club are gifted love, courage, cunning, wisdom, and motion. And I wanted us to talk about this departure from stereotypical powers. Why was this important for you?
So for me, it was important for the gifts to be virtuous gifts. And the reason that motion is considered a virtue in this context is because it's really what the power that is given is the power to be able to move fast or slow as necessary in divine timing. And I wanted the powers to be virtuous. Because from my perspective, when I look at some of the ills that are plaguing us as communities, as families, some of the things that we have to battle against, whether it be, you know, violence, poverty, fighting, greed, a lot of the things that we have to battle against cannot be fought with external weapons, if I'm making sense. But they can be fought with internal strength and internal virtues. And if you combine those internal virtues with physical strength, then now we really have, you know, something. So that's why for me, I wanted to empower the kids with gifts that helped them be better people so that they can go out and fight the world from a perspective of making the world a better place from people's hearts and souls, and not just a better place in terms of the surface.
Now, Patrick, you mentioned you love Dragon Ball Z, and I wanted to ask you about this, because these powers in the Cardi Club are very different from what we know about Dragon Ball Z. So I want to ask you how did you feel about this? Like, I mean, you mentioned the golf aspect, but what about the powers? Mm-hmm. How did you come to this? How do you view the divergence then?
Right, and I think that's a very excellent question, because, you know, I am very much at home with the stereotypical powers, as you rightfully said. For me, how I reconcile this really. The Gulf was the pull, and when I read through and understood the powers, the first thing that went through my mind was, this isn't what I'm used to. Why these powers? But as a creative, I found it interesting, and especially as a designer and a character designer, I said, you know, this provides a very unique environment to design in, a very unique context to really work from. You know, you're used to making all of these overt or external demonstrations of strength, power, skill, dexterity. But in this instance, it's a lot more, as Kaffi said, it's a lot more focused on internal aspects of a character and developing a character and their personality. And the powers that are ascribed are only meant to kind of accentuate that in a real way versus really diving really, really far into a fantastical, almost unreachable way. And I thought that taking that on as a creative challenge would be exciting.
I noticed, Kaffi, that you created a series of shorts called Big Man Dan, where you use the animation vehicle to challenge particularly these aspects of society that we can't seem to get over. So you're presenting it in this very digestible, comical form. Where or can the Cardi Club offer this similar level of commentary about any kinds of misconceptions? I mean, we've mentioned the sporting aspect, we've mentioned the powers, but any other kinds of misconceptions you're hoping to clear up or to bring attention to with this animation?
That's a great question, Gerald. Thank you for asking that. I very much hope that the Cardi Club would similarly challenge misconceptions. So the shorts that you mentioned, Big Man Dan, we're looking at misconceptions about manhood, right? Or misconceptions about masculinity and even misconceptions about male and female relationships, right? The Cardi Club now, I'm hoping, will invite people to consider misconceptions about people who come from all sorts of different economic backgrounds. I think sometimes we criminalize young people and people of all ages who come from communities that are disenfranchised. And so I'm hoping the Cardi Club will invite us to question some misconceptions that we may have about criminalizing people because they have less money than other people, or because they come from a certain neighborhood, right? Or because they look a certain way.
I want to talk about the characters now, and the actors as well, because Patrick, I imagine that in designing the characters for the Cardi Club, you would have had to interact in some way with the actors, the voice actors. Did anything strike you about the voice actors and the authenticity as Caribbean children that they brought to these roles? And how much did this play into your creation of these characters?
I think what has really been standout for me is familiarity, in the sense of I look at them, I hear them, and I say, you know, this was somebody that I went to school with when I was younger. When we were designing one of the characters, Ryan, I remember in talking with Kaffi, you know, telling her like, yo, it reminded me of even the actor, the voice actor, when I did the first concept, I was like, yo, it reminded me of one of my best friends from Cayman. He also reminded me of a friend from high school who they both were, you know, persons from a certain socioeconomic background who were fresh, who were hot boys, you know, and misunderstood, you know what I mean? And I think that really, really influenced like how I went about trying to determine each character, how I walked through creating each of these characters, not simply to be beautiful set pieces or a wonderful film, but like real living, breathing people that you are compelled to hear, compelled to watch on the basis, especially as a Caribbean person.
So I have one more question for each of you, but before that, anything you want to leave us with?
Yeah, I wanted to tell you this story about my daughter. My daughter was playing with some of her friends last weekend. She's six, right? And so her friends are 6 and 9, two brothers that she often has play dates with. And so we've been working on the poster art, and I had the poster art that Patrick and I developed on my phone. So I decided to show it to the boys to get their feedback. And so I asked them, would you want to see this movie? And they said, yes. I was like, oh, that's enthusiastic. I felt good. And then the six-year-old grabs my phone and he starts tapping on the poster. And he's like, nothing's happening. What's happening? Like, how do I see this movie? The best part was that they reacted like that before I even told them that the kids on the poster were from Trinidad like them. And so when I told them that the kids were from Trinidad, they really flipped out. And they were like, nah, we have to see this movie. And so it was really good to see, because like they instinctually responded to the poster art, like, yeah, we want to see it. But then when I told them that the kids were from Trinidad, it was like a different level of excitement. So that really made me excited to bring this movie to families and kids in the Caribbean, because it kind of proved to me that, yeah, kids want this. They do. I wanted to just really invite people to follow Storyplay TV and follow our journey of bringing this movie to life and connect with us. Like, we really want to hear from you. You know, anything to let us know about our journey to make this film. And of course, if you want to see it, I definitely want you to go to storyplay.tv and pre-order the film, because even though it's not done yet, we're building a list of people who are like, you know what, this sounds like something I want to see, or I want my family to see, I want my kids to see. If it sounds like a movie you want to see, let us know by pre-ordering the movie at storyplay.tv, because we really want to bring it to audiences as soon as possible. And one of the ways you can help us get that done is to let us know, yeah, I want to see it. And joining our pre-order list.
The thing I want to ask you is, now, Patrick, you made reference to one of the particular voice actors, but I want to ask each of you, who's your favorite character in the comic book so far?
That's a harsh question, I think.
So hard to answer.
You know, as you design these characters, you're walking through creating these people, and it's almost like they feel like your kids. To a degree. So it's hard to like turn around and say, okay, like this one is my favorite. What I might say, in terms of design at least, is my favorite and probably most playful design is between Jamal and Akil. There's a lot that kind of went into those two, I think, that kind of pulled them away a bit. But it's still, again, it's really hard because there's so much personality in all of them and so much attachment for each of them.
And Kathy, I'm putting you on the spot too.
Yes, I know. Gosh, I don't mean to be cliched, but it's such a hard question to answer. And okay, I think I have, do I have to choose one, or can I choose two?
Okay, two.
Two, okay, two. All right, I'm going to go with... three boy? No, okay, I wouldn't do that. Three, two. I'm going to go with Tamika, because a lot of what inspired me to do Tamika comes from my daughter. And I think she's a fun character. I think she's a fun character. And even though she doesn't have like a huge speaking role in the movie, I think she's definitely the youngest of the group. And I think I love seeing that little Caribbean girl in an animated movie come to life. That's really gratifying for me. And to see even the hairstyle and be like, yeah man, I could have seen her in primary school with me, that feels good. Another one of my favorite characters is the supposed villain in this story. We have more than one villain in this story, but one of the quote-unquote villains is a gang leader called Spread. And I say villain in quotation marks because I think he has some redeeming qualities in the movie as well.
I like it, a villain who can sing. I mean, what more do you want?
Right?
But I also like Tamika. I mean, I'm very interested in how she moves through space in divine timing. I find that is intriguing to me, and I cannot wait. So with that, I want to thank both of you, Kathy and Patrick. This has been really incredible, and I'm really looking forward to the movie. And I hope those listening, you do too, reach out to storyplay.tv. To follow all their updates and continue to stay tuned to the Caribbean Science Fiction Network. Bye.